HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome to the HIV Hour. My name's Josh and
I'm David.
Oh, well done, David.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to the HIV Hour. Yeah, it's 97.2 FM on RadioReverb.com. Yeah, that was Born This Way by Lady Gaga, David.
Yes. Yeah. Quite a belter club tune,
that,
isn't it?
Yeah. But it's 7 p.m. at night, so we're having a loud.
Yeah. Good.
How are you, anyway?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this nice weather that's coming up this weekend.
It's going to
be a great weekend because lots happening this weekend, as you know, and we'll tell listeners about later, I no doubt.
We've got Trans Pride and we've got the HIV stigma. We might as well.
Plot spoiler.
I've let it out of the bag.
Okay.
I do apologise.
I bet you open your presents early, don't you?
I do, yes. Yeah. I've already done it.
Yeah, you've done it.
Yes. So, what have you been up to this week?
So, this week, I've been making an exhibition of myself. I have with you and Sue and Stephen. So, as some listeners know, that we're part of an exhibition called More to Me Than HIV, and we are currently being displayed, or portraits of us are being displayed, in the foyer of the Jubilee Library in Jubilee Street in Brighton. And we're getting some good responses from the public, and some of the people who are in the portraits. We've got people with the exhibition every lunchtime, just talking about stigma and why it's important to reduce stigma and get tested and get people onto treatment, and aiming to sort of achieve those 2030 targets of zero new cases of HIV by 2030.
Have you had any, what the reaction's been for people?
We've had some really good reactions. So we've been doing, so in the time that we've been there, we've been averaging about eight to nine people an hour have been what I call meaningful conversations. That's more than just sort of nodding, saying, oh, I like that picture. But that's just sort of proper conversations about PrEP and about you equals you and about combating stigma. And so yesterday we had somebody that was a parent of somebody with special needs, and they wanted more information about how to educate people with special needs and how sexual health is important for everybody, not just people who are able to get the traditional messages in the normal way. People from all different ages. I had an 80-year-old yesterday that was talking about his sexual activities.
In the library.
Yes. and fantastic that they've still got a sexual life. that wonderful age. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, to get different reactions from people? Isn't it?
Yes, and overwhelmingly positive. Yeah, there was one today. He was slightly challenging. I think he was just trying to push buttons, but it's dealing with the public. That's the way it goes.
That's
I think he did learn something new about the importance of reducing stigma, even if he did try and wind me up.
That's all part of the fun.
It is, yeah. So, we've got a great show today, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm all right as well, thank you for asking.
Good, thank you.
Yes. What have I been up to?
Yeah, well, I believe somebody's gone around the sun another time, haven't they?
Who are?
You've had a birthday since we last spoke.
Yes.
Thank you. We talk about that then?
No, we can talk about it. I had a bit of a do, and that was
a party, a bit of a do.
Yeah, it was a bit of a do. And last week was the Bear Weekend, so I'm just kind of just recovering.
Yes, because we had Graham Mundy on the show last week and telling us all about it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Good. I mean, I did the Friday and the Sunday. I missed the Saturday, but it was very good.
Yeah,
And the weather kind of cleared up.
Was it a good crowd in your DJs?
Yeah, the Friday night at the Fallen Angel was brilliant.
Yeah,
really busy. And I got everyone singing, which I thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know.
DJs didn't encourage that sort of thing.
No, because we'll be talking to Liz later about, because Liz like DJing as well, so house music. I've been playing house music there, but it's not that kind of venue, I don't think. So I've started to play like a bit more 80s and 90s, and everyone's much better. So.
Oh, they were singing along.
I just went for it.
Right, brilliant, good.
Yeah, so it was good.
Oh, crowd pleaser.
It was. And then Sunday was Under Bears, which was interesting. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay.
So, what have we got on the show?
Well, we've got some great songs.
Yes.
We have a wonderful guest, Liz, who will introduce very shortly.
Yeah.
We've got some news about what's happening with Zero Stigma Day and obviously Trans Pride this weekend.
Yeah, a lot on this weekend, isn't there?
Yes, so and fantastic. We've got glorious weather for it too, as I mentioned earlier.
Yes. So, shall we get on with the show?
Yes, please do.
So the first track, this track is actually the first dedication Liz has chosen, so we'll play that and we'll come back with Liz after this.
Go on then.
I heard it through the grapevine, Marvin Gaye.
Which oh, wonderful song.
Brilliant track, isn't it?
Good choice, Liz.
Yes. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. That was Marvin Gaye, heard it through the grapevine. 97.2 FM, DAB Plus and RadioReverb.com. So we're now going to introduce Liz, who's been sitting there quite quietly while we've been saying Liz. So nice to see you, Liz.
Liz, David, it's so good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. So Liz is a trans feminine who's living with HIV. So I'm so glad you could come on the show. Thank you very much. How are you?
Yep, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I'm doing well. It's kind of recent discovery of my HIV diagnosis.
Right.
So last year.
Mm.
But it's still quite exasperating that the stigma still exists.
Mm.
Yes.
And some of the language hasn't changed, and it'd be nice to see some alternative language used around that. But I'm super, super fortunate to have the healthcare available for me.
Mm. Yes.
And it's a pleasure to be here today to talk about this kind of stuff.
Good.
So can you tell the listeners a little bit about your background and where you're from and how did you end up in Brighton?
Sure. Well, you may have noticed there's an Antipodean accent there, a roaring one.
From
so
north or something like that.
Yeah.
North Australia.
Northern Australia. Actually, when I first arrived in the UK, I think I started to kind of trying to dumb it down, but I worked as a trolley dolly for about 7 years and worked cross-crewing with Aussie crew, so my accent came back with a vengeance and I just embraced it.
Oh, yeah, be proud of it, be proud.
But essentially, I've lived in the UK for almost 30 years. I'm an Aussie Brit, so mm-hmm. I'm a citizen mm-hmm. of the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved down to Brighton about 7 years ago. Just wanted to be near the sea, really, sea and queers.
Yeah.
I'm a personal trainer and gender-affirming fitness coach, so I work online and in and around Brighton. My base is at the Fitness Bar on Dyke Road.
Mm-hmm.
I do work with TransCan Sport, a lot of other trans kind of sport activity organisations around the UK, like FTM London, Transactive up in Sheffield. So that's kind of facilitating coaching sessions, anything to kind of encourage people around health and fitness. Mm-hmm. Just recently did one with the Claire Project.
Surprise-based organisation, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. So it's a 13, 14-year-old trans charity.
Yes.
So it supports so many people across that kind of diverse group of trans plus people, as we tend to talk about them today.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've recently conducted a fitness session with them, and I'm also just recently become their lived experience HIV advisor. So,
which is amazing, yeah.
That's all part of a project that I'm happy to talk to you about, of course. But, I love it down in Brighton. It'd be very hard to find a community like this anywhere else in the world. So
quite lucky, aren't we, I think?
We're very fortunate,
Brighton,
yeah.
We are quite lucky in that. It's quite a diverse group, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's very accepting, isn't it? And welcomes diversity, I think. It makes the city stronger as a city. And,
yeah, definitely.
100%. 100%. Just going down to the museum and looking at Queer the Pier, you know, gives you a sense of the history of this place.
Yes,
and queers coming here for their pleasure. Well, anybody coming here for pleasure. But, great place to live. So, and it's so nice to be part of a community, something that, you know, hasn't been part of my life really for... Mm. You know, it's really hard to access a larger community in other parts of the world. So that's what I felt was missing in London, was one of the big reasons why I moved down to Brighton. Right. So,
I mean, because the density of Brighton, we're sort of surrounded by the South Downs, aren't we, in the National Park. We can't expand outwards. So everywhere's like within a half an hour walk.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I know friends in London who have to like travel an hour and a half across London to meet each other. So just to be, you know, you're a lot closer to, you know, people who identify with, aren't you, within Brighton.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So you were diagnosed last year, you said?
Yeah, last year I was diagnosed. Without going into too much of my activity over the years, you know, I haven't been that sexually active, and so it was a real surprise to me. I've literally been living like a nun for the last 15 years.
Right.
So I'd be regarded as a late diagnosis.
Right.
So my CD4 count was really low.
Right.
Viral load wasn't that high, but still, you know, I was presenting with those potential, you know, opportunities for opportunistic infections.
Oh, really?
So
right.
They were a little bit concerned about me to start with, but hopefully I've bounced back quite well. So I've just had an assessment yesterday at the Lawson unit, an incredible facility that we have.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
And yeah, so, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I continue to do my health and fitness stuff, which supports me. But I can only imagine that I'm fortunate enough to have a good immune system. I've taken care of myself over the years. So that's why I've probably been able to keep it at bay for such a long time.
Yes, yeah,
but
yeah.
It was really just underlying health indicators that kept popping up, which we didn't immediately connect with HIV.
Yeah,
so I think probably the last 3 years there were health indicators popping up, like elevated glucose levels. My obviously I'm trans feminine, so I take cross-sex hormones, so those levels were coming back all over the place, and the doctors were saying, how much are you taking, Liz? And it's like, well, are you taking the prescribed amount?
Really?
And obviously they thought I was pre-diabetic. So it's going to be interesting over the next couple of months to see some of those indicators, whether they've continued to level off or come down. So it's been kind of interesting. But yeah, those health indicators were the first thing to show up. And then it was just a question by a nurse in the process of evaluating my blood tests that asked, when was the last time you had an HIV test? And I said, darling, I've lived like a nun for the last 15 years. And she said, well, let's just check it. And so, and that's where it came back. So, yeah, it was a great shock, great shock. I think, you know, there's that scene in Dallas Buyers Club where McConaughey's character is advised and he starts throwing paper around at the clinicians. It wasn't obviously like that, but it was quite a shocking thing, and it brings back memories of just disbelief. It's like, have you got the wrong blood samples?
Yeah.
Et cetera. So, and of course, many of my friends have lived with HIV for long periods of time. I obviously lost people, dear friends, to HIV and AIDS complications, but you know, that was in the early days, of course, but you know, everybody assures me there's good outcomes, really good outcomes for us, and I think that's better language to use, because I have been quite shocked with some of the language that has that I've encountered, you know, when telling people, you know, my HIV diagnosis. So I think there's still so much work to be done around the stigma and how we talk about HIV and the historical effects of that stigma that still is prevalent amongst us today. So.
Yes, yeah. And that's very topical, because obviously Sunday is Zero HIV Stigma Day, isn't it? And only the second time that's happened internationally. And we've got the whole week of preceding events and across city of things going on in schools and in workplaces and in healthcare settings as well. So where have you encountered this sort of language that you found sort of stigmatising?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly...
Without naming anybody.
No, but incredibly, it's amongst our own community and comments like, it's no longer a death sentence, which is, I find, really abrasive, and it's, I think we can, there's alternatives to that language. It is very harsh.
Yeah.
You feel like you've dodged a bullet, and I'm sure there's that is perhaps the reality in some situations, but, you know, surely words like, how can I support you, are better than, than like, oh, well, it's no longer a death sentence. And I think just, you know, there's obviously, with the prevalence of PrEP now, you know, you kind of think that there's a bit of a laissez-faire approach to, you know, sexual health. And I think when you dig deeper, you realise there still is a stigma, because, you know, I get a lot of questions about if somebody has contracted another sexually transmitted infection. You know, they're always asking me, oh, can I catch HIV as a result of having this, and so forth. And so I'm, you know, as a result of PrEP, maybe we've got an increase in kind of super infections around gonorrhea, chlamydia, et cetera. And, you know, it's to be aware that, you know, just because we've got PrEP doesn't mean that we can't catch a sexually transmitted infection.
No, of course
not. So, yeah, I think there's still loads of misinformation. Some of the language we can use can be better prepped, and maybe that's the work that some of the work I can do. So
that's what it's all about, is those projects and those things that you're interested in doing, and same with stigma.
Yeah.
Zero stigma days. Yes. It's all educating and getting the message out there, isn't it?
Yeah. 100%.
That stigma sort of prevents people from getting tested, doesn't it, and onto treatment. So they put you on treatment straight away after your diagnosis, more
or less? Yeah, I was on treatment within 3 weeks. So I'm on the 3 antiretrovirals. Mm-hmm. I still found that it was a bit of a lack of information, and you know, other friends of mine asked me if I'd experienced IRS, and I said, "Hang on, I'm not in the United States. I've got nothing to do with tax." And they said, "No. It's an immune response syndrome. So, you know, once you start on those ARVs, and listen, I'm not a medical professional, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. As I understand it, you know, when your immune system's been suppressed for so long, as you know, in my case, when it has the ability to reboot, you might start to experience some other reinfections of other incidences you've had previously. So things like shingles and...
They're called comorbidities, aren't they?
Right. Pardon?
They're called comorbidities, aren't they? I think.
Correct, yes.
I can't say that word, but I think that's...
Yeah, comorbidities, yeah. So, so I think kind of that was the most difficult stage. I had a really serious chest infection that included some coughing of blood. Right. And so... the clinic were really concerned. They had a bed ready for me. But when I presented to them, they were kind of, they were fairly confident I'd be okay after some chest x-rays and other bloods. So, you know, when you have a CD4 count down at 215, that's below the point at which they start to worry, I think, which is 250. So, doing well now. Unfortunately for a lot of people, I'm firing on all 8 again. So, so look out.
Yeah.
Nick, on. I was just talking about your personal training as well, how that helps with. Because I'm a member of the gym, and I haven't been for a long time, and I can really feel that I need to exercise and for my own health as well, being HIV. So that's such an important thing, isn't it, to keep that health up as well?
100%. Well, I mean, you know, I'm always advocating for activity. Now, what that activity likes is going to be very individual to that person. For me, it's strength training, strength and conditioning training. I know that works for a lot of people. Yeah. You know, when we're doing this, whether it's an activity on a football field or roller skating or wakeboarding, you know, We just need to find activities to get our bodies moving. That's what we were designed to do. Essentially, stand and walk and run. And I think the more we live a sedentary life, the more problems that's going to bring to our underlying health. And so, you know, when you can engage in activities. You're going to benefit from those free drugs, which are endorphins, dopamine, oxytocin, so feel-good stuff.
Yeah.
And so many people I work with, you know, when we look at those kind of measurements, like before, how you're feeling before exercise, how you're feeling afterwards, there's always at least a 2-point increase in the way that people are feeling overall. That was some of the work I've been doing with TransCan Sport, where we evaluated how people were feeling pre-activity and then post-activity. And there's always this, you know, this 2 to 3-point increase in people's overall well-being. Well-being. So, yeah, I love my weight training. It's something I've been doing for years. Yeah. I used to play team sports, played a part in forming a women's football club, an Australian rules football club here in Brighton, the Sussex Swan. So they compete around the country, particularly up in London. No, more so in London these days. And yes, I'm just advocating for people to move their bodies, whatever way that may look like. So it could be a 20 minute walk, 30 minute walk a day, something like that, which is a great piece of exercise. And my clients range from 65-year-old women, straight women to, or you know, trans non-binary people, queer people. So I get a lot out of what I do. And of course, I met you at the Gym Madeira Drive, where I was for 5 years, and I'm now at the wonderful fitness bar on Dyke Road, which was started by queer women, Catherine Duffy and Robin Loomis. Catherine's a 65-year-old weightlifter, powerlifter. She's going up to Manchester to compete on the weekend. Wow. Robin is an incredible runner, coach, etc. So, great place to work, and If anybody's looking for a smaller boutique kind of gym, please come and see us. Merciless plug.
But I noticed I'm sitting up more straightly since you started talking about this. My posture's improved no end. Because I've got bad back from sedentary positions, you know, lots of desk work over the years. It's important. So Transcan Sport, what's that?
So Transcan Sport is just recently become a charity. So that was started by Marquita Smith and Rory Alexander. So basically they organise events around Brighton and Hove, activities for trans plus people. Right. So all sorts of things. It could be weight training. So I facilitate a lift session, which we do on a regular basis. So coaching people how to pick up a dumbbell and start bench pressing, squats, deadlifts, that kind of stuff. Recently, they had archery, there's badminton, wheelchair basketball, tennis, volleyball. I think they've got stand-up paddle boarding coming up soon. So just activities that trans plus people can engage in a safe space, basically. So it's just themselves and members of their community. So that's the kind of stuff Transcan Sport do. It's absolutely brilliant.
So another project you were talking about was West Sussex, something to do with HIV
So I've recently become a lived experience HIV advisor for the CLARE Project. So anybody that doesn't know, you should know the CLARE Project. It's an amazing charity here based in Brighton, been running for about 14 years. I guess, you know, the best way to kind of remind listeners is that, you know, the government released its kind of towards zero policy back in 2021, which was an action plan towards ending HIV transmissions, AIDS and HIV deaths in England by 2030. So as a result of that, there's seven organisations in the West Sussex area that have been given funding, and the CLARE Project is taking part in this community programme. And that's in collaboration with Lunch Positive and Community Works. So, I mean, I guess with the significant advances in HIV treatment, you know, zero as a prevention initiative, you know, zero, a zero health goal is kind of pretty attainable, I guess. And in particular, we're going to be working around kind of three key areas, which are going to be improving the uptake and accessibility of HIV testing and PrEP for trans plus people. The second kind of aim is to improve awareness with the trans plus community and the healthcare professionals serving them of HIV testing, PrEP, and effective barrier methods. And the third kind of aims that we're looking at is providing insight into the health and healthcare needs of trans plus community people around sexual health, HIV, to inform our future service commissioning. So, yeah, trans plus people have different healthcare needs. We have certain barriers to even accessing those healthcare needs. And so there's, on top of the stigma, there's also possibly reluctance to go to see a doctor. For example, some of our relationships with our medical professionals aren't great just because of, I guess, misinformation. And in today's media, it's disinformation. So the kinds of headlines that we saw back in the 80s around, you know, gay and lesbian people, just take that out, gays and lesbians out, and just pop trans people in. It's the same kind of rhetoric.
Transphobic, isn't it?
And unfortunately, some of our healthcare professionals, you know, are thinking that way. So there's certain barriers, and there's also, you know, I guess isolated communities as well. So in particular, this program, you know, really wants to address, you know, that has a focus on certain geographical areas and where there's a higher incidence of HIV transmission, and also with, you know, a view to prioritising communities, so travelling communities, et cetera, as well as trans plus communities. So
it's rural as well, isn't it? It's people who don't live in the big town like Brighton.
Correct. And, I mean, when we look at statistics, you know, the way that gay men, for example, test, it's really up there. It's amongst the highest kind of numbers in terms of the way they're testing and regular testing. And, if we compared that to straight, you know, heterosexual men and women, you know, that we're seeing the double the number of figures of HIV transmission. So there's there's work to be done in outside of the LGBTQ plus community. Yeah. So that's the work that I'm doing in this little project, and we're going to start off with some focus groups. So talking to trans plus people, and the CLARE Project's already started advertising some of those paid roles in the focus group. So go and check out the CLARE Project on social media, and I'm sure you'll find the advertisements and get in touch with our project manager, Luca White.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And that's a C-L-A-R-E, the CLARE Project.
That's correct, CLARE Project, yeah, C-L-A-R-E.
Brilliant. So we're actually coming to the end of the interview, but we've got Trans Pride this weekend, haven't we?
Yes.
So are you going to be going?
I will be going, yes. I'll probably miss the march, but I've done so much marching over the course of my life that I'm sure they'll be fine without me. I'm definitely going along. The new format of different venues I think is going to be really interesting, as opposed to being locked into Brunswick Square. So I really, really applaud Sarah and the committee for taking that bold step forward after last year and a few other years where it's been weather affected and really. So I think we're looking at Dorset Gardens, Newstein Gardens, also the Corn Exchange, and I probably missed one or two others out.
We'll mention them later, aren't we, community?
Yeah, but it's great to have them interspersed across the city, and not 100%. Just, as you say, not just as a ghetto in, or just penned in like a sheep pen.
I think it's great, and you know, allows other people to come in and be part of our community. I know that might bring up a few question marks for some people, but
no. I mean, Josh and I went on the last on the march 2 years ago, and I must
thank you.
I did feel proud.
Good on you.
That the number of people that were there.
It's certainly growing. Yeah. 11 years Trans Pride's been going. So last year was the 10th anniversary. Yeah. So do support it where you can, and where you can dig deep and donate towards the charity.
Yeah. Yes,
there's a few fundraisers nights on. So we'll mention that later in community news on the Fridays. So I've got all the info for that. So
wonderful. Brilliant.
So good for you. Thanks for coming on. And
thank you, Claire.
My pleasure.
We'd love to have you back again as well.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Josh.
Sorry, not Claire.
It's quite all right. I've been called a lot of things in my life. Claire's fine. Yes. It's absolutely fine.
I beg your pardon.
Josh, David, it's been a pleasure being with you.
I know you like your house like I do. So
house music.
Liz likes a house.
Oh, this one. Your choice.
I'm trying to get her to come to one of my nights, but
I'm so glad you picked this, because I'm just looking down at the sheet. Yeah, because I was doing a trip to San Francisco in 2003, and I went to the opening of a club, and this played, and we're all having lots of fun. I won't tell you how and when, but I just happened to be in the Castro one afternoon buying some shoes, and I asked the guy, "What's that track?" And he said, "Oh, it's this one, darling." And so, please, that'd be amazing. So, without any further ado, it's been a pleasure being on HIV Hour. And my little track that I'll introduce is So Right. That's Jet Lag, and it's the Axwell and BT Essence dub.
Hello.
Great to have Liz.
Wasn't she lovely? Yes.
She was, And some of the projects she's doing is amazing.
And to be doing, as an advocate or teaching trans people, you know, only a year after getting a diagnosis herself.
We'll ask her to come back on the show again.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, David, we've got the Trans Pride on this week.
Yes.
Weekend, but also, really important, on Sunday is the
Zero HIV Stigma Day. And,
yes.
And so,
you've been part of it, haven't you?
I have, yes. I've been on the committee. There's lots of people involved. So the Brighton and Hove City Council, we have the hospitals, Brighton and Sussex University Hospitals, charities like the Lunch Positive, the Sussex Beacon, Terence Higgins Trust, our dear selves. We are also going to be present at the event on Sunday. So throughout this week, there are things happening throughout the city. So as we mentioned earlier on the show, More to Me Than HIV Portrait Exhibition is on at the foyer in Jubilee Library. So welcome you to come along and come and meet some of the people that are in the portraits every lunchtime from today onwards. And in today's Thursday, isn't it? But from tomorrow, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we are present, and there is an event on Sunday from 1 o'clock till three, happening as a community event.
And what does that involve then?
So there'll be there's lots happening actually. So there'll be speakers. So the wonderful drag queen called Mary O'Cart will be hosting the event. So there'll be a stage. Mary O'Cart will be hosting the event. The event will open with the Rainbow Chorus.
Fabulous.
And then Mary O'Cart will be sort of saying hello to the crowd and introducing the event. There will be some positive speakers. That's speakers who are living with HIV that are coming from the Terence Higgins Trust Positive Speakers program. They go out into schools and businesses to talk about the realities of what it is like to live with HIV.
Such an amazing project. Right,
yes, and our wonderful Sue, our co-presenter, yes. She actually is sort of the manager of that project,
and
I believe.
As well,
and Stephen, yeah, he's one of the speakers. And Philip's a speaker as well. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And do you remember, listeners, that we had the lovely Robert James, who is affected directly by the infected blood scandal? He will be speaking on stage. We've invited the MPs, the new MPs, to talk, because last show it was the general election. Can you believe only one show ago?
Yeah.
We have some new MPs an MP who was an MP before, have been invited to speak, or at least attend and come and meet people living with HIV. We'll have members of the council be coming to speak. Peer mentors from the Sussex Beacon will be coming to talk about what it's like to be a peer mentor for people living with HIV and the sort of challenges that people living with HIV face today, including stigma.
So why is it so, we've just been talking about stigma with Liz, but why is it so important to have these days, do you think?
So we have HIV Awareness Day, or World AIDS Day, as it's commonly called, in December.
Yeah.
And that's very much a day of raising awareness about HIV and all the issues, the many issues that we talk about on this show. And also, that is an event of remembrance and commemoration for the people that we have lost. This event is a very different. It's only the second time it's ever happened, so the second year running this has happened. And it's all about reducing HIV stigma to zero. And now there are different types of HIV stigma. There is the stigma that we have ourselves, within ourselves, internalized, that prevents us from doing certain things. It's a fear-based emotion. Mm. So that kind of stigma is that prevents people from getting HIV tests, because they're afraid of what the result may be, or they're afraid of the reactions that their family, their friends, or their profession, and all colleagues will have against them if they were to become HIV. And quite often that's an irrational fear. It's like a bit like a phobia, that usually what we imagine might be the case is actually the worst case scenario we can think of, and that reality is very different. But also the other kind of stigma is the stigma that you receive from other people. So the anecdotal reports of doctors or dentists, for example, wearing excessive personal protection for people if they know a patient is HIV positive, like wearing two pairs of rubber gloves, for example, or putting the face shield and a paper mask over their face if they're if they're a dentist or other healthcare professionals, or for example if you're a gym trainer like Liz, they may treat you differently if they know you have HIV. Yeah. So that's stigma coming from elsewhere.
And it's still it's still very prominent, isn't it?
It still happens.
We talk about it on the show quite a lot.
Because for a lot of people, they remember the tombstone campaigns of the 1980s and or 90s, and that was very much a campaign based on fear, using fear as a motivational tool. And that works, but it leaves behind a legacy of fear. And when the situation changes, like when you have therapy or the treatment that comes out that is successful, people still remember the fear. They don't remember the positive side of things. So we know today that we can live normal and fulfilling lives living with HIV, but the attitude that people that don't know about the treatment and how successful that is, that they still have that fear and stigma.
They have that image in their heads, don't they?
Yeah. People think of us as being sick and ill and dying, and we're no more so that than anybody else.
Yeah. Internalized stigma, I think that's just powerful thing, isn't it? Because I know I
It is. It prevents you from doing things, and you know, but, you know, and it's difficult. How do you, you know, when we're very lucky as activists to be, you know, have overcome our personal stigma. But I can remember a time when I didn't want my photograph being taken because I looked slightly gaunt for some of the effects of living with HIV. But now I don't give two hoots.
I remember. Yeah, well, I remember when I was diagnosed, and that was back in 2002. I had the barber shop, and I wouldn't go to the Lawson unit, so I didn't.
Right.
I didn't get going to treatment for five years.
Yeah,
because
right.
I didn't want people to.
You didn't want your customers to know or see you there.
I'm dealing with sharp knives and sharp knives, not one of that, scissors.
Scissors. Yeah. And, yeah.
But, That was my thinking at the time. It took me 5 years to get to the Lawson unit.
Yeah.
To go to treatment.
Yeah, so it took me 15 years to tell my parents I was positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all that kind of that needs to be.
You have to carry that, don't you? You
know,
that baggage, if you like. You know, I've left my bags at the door now.
Yeah. You've had your bags.
I have, yes.
So could you just let our listeners know what we're. Where to go and what time it's on?
So Jubilee Square is the square outside Jubilee Library, and funny enough, it's in Jubilee Street, but it's all Jubilees.
Yes.
Yes, so the event is happening from 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock. It's a community event. It's a call to action celebrating people living with HIV overcoming stigma. Everybody is welcome to attend the event, and it brings together people to hear the experiences of people living with HIV and how we can all change the negative narratives. And actually, there's a theme to this year's Zero HIV Stigma Day, and that is redefining the narratives. It's sort of reclaiming the sort of story of what it's like to live with HIV, and we're actually telling people actually the reality has changed since you equals you.
Yeah.
And you know, now we have very successful PrEP and PEP. But there are events happening all across the city. So there is a social media campaign on the social media platforms where you'll see adverts popping up. If you look at some bus stops throughout the city, that has campaign messages about let's make this city a stigma-free city. We have the More to Me exhibition, as I mentioned earlier. The Brighton and Hove buses, Martin Fisher Foundation bus, will be in operation across the city on 21st of July. And it does every day, displaying awareness messages about HIV and stigma. There's a special education packs are going to school, and especially at this time where schools are starting to break up now, there's an opportunity to sort of put those extra messages into the curriculum, because obviously they've all finished their exams now.
And
then there were raising awareness across the University Hospital Sussex NHS Trust, encouraging staff to reduce HIV stigma in healthcare settings. And because also this year Zero HIV Stigma Day is on a Sunday, we've actually encouraged faith groups to talk to their congregations about destigmatizing things.
And we've got a stall, haven't we?
We're having a big do. Well, not a big do, but we're on stage with all the other speakers, and we have 4 minutes. But so many people don't know about us.
Yeah,
that we've been, and part of the money that Rainbow Fund gave us, Brighton Rainbow Fund gave us, was to have some flyers printed and have some posters printed, because we are a charity after all.
So we're going to just we'll be there and still
having our relaunch.
But I have new t-shirts on. Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll
Fingers
be wearing.
Crossed.
Yeah,
so it'd be nice to see you down there.
Come on, listeners, come and meet us. Come and meet Sue and Joshy and me, and we'll be there, and we'd love to hear what you'd like to hear on the show.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll have another track. I've gone for this is the Trans Anthem, I think. So this is
Good.
Yeah. So and then we'll come back with some community news. Yeah. Talk about what's out on over the weekend, Trans Pride, and any other community news.
I think I might have something.
Yes. So this is Shea Diamond, and I Am Her. Oh, that was good. I like that track.
That was a good song. I Am Her, wasn't it? Yeah. Welcome back to Radio Reverb's HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and on DAB Plus Radio. Don't forget about our podcast. Search for HIV Hour in the favourite podcast platform of your choice.
Yeah, we're having a bit of We had a bit of technical stuff going on. We had a name in your chair. And,
I did.
Anyway, we are carrying on regardless.
Yes.
We've got some community news.
Yes, we do. David. So don't forget, listeners, that tomorrow from noon onwards and serving lunch at 1 o'clock is Lunch Positive. We love all the stuff they do. In fact, coming up in September, that Simon Madrell is doing some poetry and creative writing workshops. No doubt we'll have him on the show later on. But if you go to Lunch Positive's website, you can sign up to do some creative workshops on they'd be doing writing and poetry and things like that.
Oh, because he was on the show, and he was brilliant on the show, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. And actually, he actually did a reading of one of his poems at last year's Zero HIV Stigma Day. A very powerful poem, if I remember rightly.
Yes, it was. Is he doing that again this
year? Not this year. No.
I suppose it's because it's.
Well, there's so many people to fit in, so that people are taking it in turns, I think.
Yes. Mm. So, as we mentioned earlier, and we had Liz on who was talking about it, Trans Pride's on this weekend.
It is, yeah.
So, we're just going to go through some stuff that's on. There's some fundraisers. So, the first one is going to be on tomorrow night at the... So, this is hosted by Ophelia Payne, and that's going to... So, I'm just checking where it is. So that's going to be at the the Queen's Arms, and that's on George Street in Brighton. So that kicks off at 8:30, mm-hmm. and that's a Trans Pride fundraiser.
Right.
Again, another fundraiser, which is on tomorrow night, 7:30, and that's going to be, now I always get this wrong, how I say it, Arcobaleno,
yes.
And that's in Kemp Town.
That's a great venue, yes. Yeah, very trans-friendly.
So that's hosted by them and Beth from Inclusive Socials for Queer Women. They've got performances, trying to get this right, Under the Ivy, Limbs Slacker, I can't say the other two, Arno and Sikunye. So that's another fundraiser for
Trans Pride.
You're laughing at me, trying to get those words out. When
The
main event, obviously, is on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. The march starts at 11:30 at Jubilee Square. So the protest march, if you want to go down, start gathering at 11 a.m. Speech is at 11:30, and then they set off at midday.
Yes, and do take plenty of water or something to drink and some sunblock, because it's forecast for 29 degrees.
It's going to be quite warm, isn't it?
Yeah.
I might go and watch it, actually, I think.
We did it a couple of years ago, didn't we?
Yeah. And then the evening do after the... is there a thing at the... like a park thing?
Liz said that there's things scattered around Brighton, isn't there? So Newstein Gardens and Dorset Gardens. So search online, and I'm sure you'll find it. And actually, I think you've just found it, haven't you?
Yeah, I found it. Yeah. So I'll just go through this. So the speaker stage at Jubilee Square, like we said, and then there's community stalls at the Brighton Domes Corn Exchange from 1 until 6 p.m. There's a family picnic area in Dorset Gardens with community stalls, acoustic and spoken words. And there's a bar in Newstein Gardens with a dance tent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. That's where the statue is, isn't it?
The AIDS Memorial.
Yeah. Mm. And then at night, the after party venue is at the Corn Exchange, and that's 7
p.m. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's Tramfrau. Mm-hmm. 7 p.m. till late. Mm-hmm. So tickets are available, so you just have to go to the Brighton Dome website and put in Trans Pride.
Mm-hmm. Party. Great.
That's that. So a lot going on.
There is, as always, isn't there? What a wonderful city we live in.
We do. You know, we've got a lot on as well. There's something on the beach as well this time. On the beach, that's on this time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, what are you going to be doing this weekend?
So I've got family coming down. Well, I'm going to be at the Zero HIV Stigma event, because we're speaking on stage, aren't we?
Aye.
Yes, we're really launching in our new livery, our new T-shirts. Yes. And Saturday lunchtime, I'll be in the library staffing the More to Me Than HIV exhibition. We have some great interactions with the public. It's been really well received.
Yeah. So do please come down if you can. Come make it down there on Sunday, and even just to go into the library and just see the More to Me exhibition.
Yeah. Last year it was great to see so many positive people together.
Yes.
And visible. That really does break down stigma.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that's it. We've come to the end of the show. Thank you for this coming on. It was such a great interview.
And for listening.
We'll be back for our next show, is Pride Show.
Oh, fantastic.
Which will be on the 1st of August.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have we're going to have all the gang in the studio, aren't we?
Oh, great. Good.
Yeah, please join us then. And we finish on a great track, Blind by Hercules and Love Affair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that one?
I do.
So thank you for joining us, and see you next time.
Cheerio.
Cheerio, bye.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.